Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fellows are out today. Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott hanging out with you instead here on The Drive. T. Mill holding things down on the ones and twos as always. Coming up, did we get the best insight into what this offense might be for the Houston Texans in 2025? B. Scott was out at OTAs today. Before we get to that piece of audio from a question you asked, right? You came in saying you feel pretty confident Christian Kirk, clear number two wide receiver on this team as we sit here today.
Yeah, I just feel like we probably do a bad job. And when I say, well, I'm not talking about you and I specifically, but just like the collective we do a bad job about discussing the wide receiver depth after the main guy. And we go wide receiver number two, wide receiver number three. And it's a little bit more complex than that. But if we're just talking about the second best pass catching option that they've got on this team, I don't know how, until proven otherwise, until we see something different, I don't know how that guy is not Christian Kirk. And the reason why I point that out is because I feel like we're reluctant, the collective we again, are reluctant to call a slot receiver your number one or your number two guy, whatever exactly the number two guy means. We're reluctant to do that, but there are plenty of examples of it around the league. And Christian Kirk, to his credit, and I know he's been unhealthy the last couple of years, hasn't necessarily been able to live up to certainly his own expectations, and not that first year that he was in Jacksonville when he looked really good. But he's the most accomplished receiver on this team that's not named Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the most talented receiver that we've seen so far, save for the rookies who obviously got to prove it before you can actually really feel confident in that. So I think that Christian Kirk is the second best receiver on this team. It's not particularly close yet until proven otherwise. And I think that's something that we got to start embracing and start thinking of Christian Kirk in that way, as a guy that you expect to be one of their primary playmakers catching the ball. So it was cool to hear from him. This is the first time I had heard from him since he joined the team. I'm not sure if he had done a media availability before this at all. I don't recall one. So this was our first look at him, or first chance to speak with him and talk to him. So I thought that was really cool. He's a little bit smaller than I was expecting, mm-hmm. but you know, I'm expecting him to be a real dynamic piece of this offense. And it was also cool to hear him talk about the offense in a way that I don't think anybody else has necessarily done. They're going to be mostly generic when they talk about it, and they're not going to give us everything. They're not going to show us everything, certainly not in OTAs. They're not going to tell us everything of what the offense is about. But I thought Christian Kirk did a good job of at least speaking to it. And part of my question to him was, what do you like about the offense? I think that's a general enough question to allow them to go where they want to go. And I appreciated Christian Kirk speaking to it. So it was nice to lay eyes on him. And also I'm expecting pretty big things from him.
Yeah, certainly. As am I. I remember being on this show with Ron when that trade happened, and we were both pretty big on the addition of Christian Kirk. I think the biggest question right now for Texans fans as we sit here this afternoon is about the health of the quarterback C.J. Stroud. But the second biggest question is, what is this offense going to look like? What is Nick Caley going to try to do with this offense? So this question and answer that we've alluded to from Christian Kirk was B. Scott asked him, what are the challenges of learning this Nick Caley offense? What do you like about it? Here's what Christian Kirk said today.
Nick is all ball, very intelligent, very smart, does a great job communicating to us, you know, what the expectations are, route detail, you know, motions, formations, whatever the case may be. He's done a great job kind of laying that out for us. And it's been, I guess, primarily pretty easy, you know, just being able to learn it the way he's been able to install it. You know, Ben McDaniels in our room has done a great job teaching us just all the things from a football IQ aspect that you need to know as a receiver. And this offense is dynamic. A lot of motions, a lot of pre-snap adjustments for the defense to have to, you know, deal with. So I think you'll see a lot of guys in different places to be able to make plays.
A lot of motions, a lot of pre-snap adjustments, a lot of movement, guys in different places to
like that.
To make different plays. And I think fairly generic, but also more specific than what we normally get. And again, we don't expect them to say a lot, but you know, that was, I think, good to hear. And really the pre-snap motions part of it and what we already know and understand to be the change in CJ Stroud and the sort of how communication works pre-snap. And so that's going to be something to watch out for. I think that, you know, Christian Kirk, just in answering a simple question, gave you a little bit of insight of what you can expect from the offense. And also the part about the how easy it is to learn it, because I asked him, you know, what's the difficulty in learning a new offense? And he said it's been pretty easy. And I take that and just think about the communication, you know, and how it wasn't necessarily ideal with Bobby Slowik, either from a player input standpoint or from an adjustment standpoint. I don't feel like they thought they did either well enough, right? Take player input and adjust on the fly. You know, I always used to say Bobby Slowik would go into a game with a decent script. He would have gotten a B+, maybe, maybe even an A in some cases in script writing.
But
in improv, he would have gotten a D at best. Like, he just wasn't good at improv. And so I'm waiting to see what that looks like. It seems like Nick Caley is going to be someone, and of course we don't know this, but just based off of how they're communicating with us now, he seems like he's going to be a guy who's going to have more answers than the last guy did.
That's certainly the hope. I hope so. I like what Christian Kirk said. Offense is dynamic.
Yes.
That sounds good.
I hadn't heard anybody call it that yet.
No.
Because, I mean, we don't know what it is.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, sure. I'll take that. I have no idea what a Nick Caley offense is. No. So if you're going to call it dynamic, I'll take that.
That's pretty good. If you're selling an offense, we haven't seen the offense yet. So if you say, hey, dynamic, lots of motions, pre-snap adjustments, those are all good things. That's a big buzzword, too, in the NFL nowadays, all about the pre-snap motion. And there's a lot of questions about, is this going to be a Patriots offense? Is this going to be a Rams, Sean McVay offense? What is Nick Caley going to do? Is it going to be a combination of the two? McVay, Shanahan, they're big on a lot of that moving around. And I'm sure Josh McDaniels uses some of it, but I do remember when Josh McDaniels left the Raiders, then Luke Getsy took over and might not be the best play caller, but one of the things the players mentioned was the biggest difference was suddenly the increase in pre-snap movement and pre-snap motion that Josh McDaniels was not doing. So simply just based off of this little snippet from Christian Kirk, and you wonder, is it going to be Patriots? Is it going to be Rams? Maybe a combination, because we talk about that game plan offense being more like New England. I feel like, though, this answer from Christian Kirk, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. It reminds me more of Sean McVay and the Rams.
Yeah, and the game plan, I was talking about this with Seth yesterday. There is a little bit of, you know, sports PTSD. I don't like to make light of PTSD, but like sports PTSD of the game plan offense as a buzzword, not wanting it to be that. I like to lean more into what they call personnel-based,
mm-hmm.
and that is not allowing the defense to dictate what your offense is going to look like, but simply just allowing the guys on the team, the guys that you intend to play, that dictating what the offense is going to look like. And if they got guys that can handle all of that, they feel like C.J. Stroud is the guy that can handle the, you know, making the pre-snap checks and audibles and things like that, and that they've got interchangeable parts that they can move around, then, you know, let's go for it. But I do like to think of the offense more as a personnel-based one and not just a game plan? Because I know that's a frustration for many Texans fans is don't let the other dictate. You dictate. You set right. the tone. You go out there and set the tone and set the tempo, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, different sports, but we kind of saw that in the Pacers-Knicks series of you force the other team to play your style, and that's what allowed the Pacers to be successful. I always like that philosophy from coaches in all sports.
Yes.
Hey, following Ronald Darby's retirement, what's the thinnest position group of the Texans? We'll get to that next. It's in the
They're all fixable.